Does anyone in here know what is the tallest unoccupied building in the world? I didn't know the answer till this week, but it's astounding. It's actually called the Hotel of Doom. Look at it. They started building it in 1987, and it's still uncompleted. It was supposed to be the largest, tallest hotel in the world, but it's never been completed. Because when they started it, it had improper designs, it had all kinds of things. There was a bad economic downturn for this nation. This is actually in North Korea. They built it to try to rival a hotel that was built in South Korea, but things went terribly, terribly wrong. They've actually have an exterior on it, but to this very day, 2025, it remains unoccupied and no single person has ever stayed in it. Now, you would think that if you were going to build something like that, you would want to pre-plan a lot of things. Like the elevator shafts in this thing are not correct. It has all kinds of foundations. It will probably never, ever open. It costs billions and billions of dollars. Financially, they just can't complete it. This country already has all kinds of economic problems to begin with. But, you know, it just seems obvious that something like this, you need to have advanced planning and design to pull it off. You know, before God created the whole entire universe, he did two things. Number one is he planned everything. And you would probably anticipate that God planned everything. But the second thing that God did before he ever made a single thing was he chose you. If you have a Bible, I want you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 4 today. This is the second message in a sermon series that our pastor has started called In Christ. Now, Ephesians is a very pivotal book in the New Testament, and the main thing you have to understand in the book of Ephesians is in Christ. And so I'm very excited about this sermon series. Last week, the message, by the way, Pastor, was just phenomenal. I don't even know, like how I'm getting to preach in this sermon series, because that was absolutely off the scale. You know, our pastor and I have been friends all the way back since we were in seminary together. We had preaching class together, and they offered whoever preached first, they would give them a better grade. They would give them extra points, and I'd never preached. And so I just thought I was going to hang back. And he went first. And, I didn't know at that time that he had graduated from, I didn't know him. He graduated from Howard Payne University. He was the Bible student of the decade. He won every award that you could ever win. He knew Greek and Hebrew and all this. And he got up and preached. It was so good. I questioned my call to be a pastor. I told my wife, I think I'm in the wrong place, man. These guys can all already preach. What I didn't know was that his dad was a pastor in Wisconsin, Milwaukee. Is that where you grew up? And his dad would let him preach anytime he wanted. He's got the best dad and the best mom that you've ever seen. But anyway, I just decided, man, I want to be friends with this guy. And we became friends. And so he did something that probably changed the course of my life. He's the first person ever in the world that ever took me golfing. Yes. And so we go to the golf course, and he lets me use his dad's clubs. I think I shot 143 that day. I mean, these guys, they just wore me out. But it's just like the bug bit. And, you know, I just, you know, got to love golf. And, you know, he was already, I knew he was good at other things. So Darren, let me tell you what his spiritual gift is. Y'all want to know what his spiritual gift is? It's ping pong. Oh, my goodness, man. So he is so good. I saw him beat the national championship of Korea. That's probably why he was probably the guy building the hotel and left. I mean, because Darren beat him. I practiced up for ping pong, and I went and bought a paddle, you know, a butterfly paddle with its own case, and I practiced without him knowing, and he let me do a revival at his church, and then we had this big match. He beat me. And he beat me bad. And then he said, well, Maybe I could play you left-handed. I was like, you can't. No. So he beat me left-handed. Okay. And then he said, well, maybe I could play you on my knees. And I was already pretty good. So I played him he beat me on his knees. Then he went into the kitchen and he got a pie pan. He beat me with the pie pan. Okay. And so anyway, just don't ever play him in ping pong. You know, our chairman of deacons here, Andrew Hubachik, thinks he's good at ping pong. You know, that would be a really good match for charity. Chairman of deacons versus the pastor here. You know, and I think Andrew's actually running for office here. I'll tell you what, I'd actually vote for him if he could beat you. I'd love to see that. But yeah, our pastor, man, he's fantastic ping pong player. Anyway, but I got addicted to golf after he took me to play golf. Pastor, you may have heard the story about the pastor that went golfing on Sunday, you know. And, you know, he was off on Sunday. You know, look at you, man. You had a Sunday off, and you still came to church. That's amazing. So this pastor, though, he went out, and so he came to a hole that had a par 3 over water. And he had a brand-new ball, and he thought, I don't want to hit the new ball. You know, I'm gonna get in my bag, because what if I hit it in the water? And so he took the old ball, and he was just about to hit over the water when he heard a voice from the clouds that said, use the new ball. Man, he just thought, wow, man, I mean, God must be watching me play golf. So he takes the old ball, picks it up, puts it in his pocket, he puts the new ball down and puts it on the tee, and he thinks, man, this is going to be good. And so right before he goes to swing, he hears a voice from the clouds that said, take a practice swing. So he backed off, and he took a practice swing. And then he heard a voice from heaven that said, use the old ball. Well, today the old ball's preaching, but the new ball will be back next week to continue in the sermon series. Let's read this scripture together. Ephesians 1, chapter 4. And it says, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. Now, this is an amazing scripture because we see that before God ever created the whole world, before God ever designed the whole world, he already had designs on you. He already knew you. He already knows who you are. Before he ever makes the world, he already knows he's going to make you, and he chose you in Christ. That's an incredible statement when you start thinking about it. That before God ever does anything, he already knows what he wants to do, how he's going to do it. You know, God is a designer. God is the great designer. And you know this, that every design requires a designer. God created this world. He created the whole entire universe, and it wasn't by accident. It was on purpose. It was by design. Now, what's interesting is that many of you who don't know my story, I was an atheist for 21 years. I was actually saved in 1987, the very year that they started building the Hotel of Doom. And, you know, I felt like, you know, I was going to be a lawyer, but I felt like that God was also calling me into the ministry. And so my pastor told me that I should go to this place called Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. And the interesting thing was we got a catalog, and we started looking at it, and I showed it to my fiance, who's sitting down here, and we noticed this, you know, you had to be saved 2 years to be a seminary student. And when I met you, Dr. Biles, I had been saved for just 2 years. I mean, we're just coming in. But I had been saved out of radical atheism. And so I read over 100 books on apologetics. I read the Bible cover to cover before I ever became a Christian. And so I know both sides of the story. I know what it's like to be an atheist. I lived over 2 decades as an atheist. I know what it's like to live as a Christian. But I also know this, that whether you're an atheist or you're a Christian, when you look at the world, both sides admit design. That's incredible. when you think about it. You know, the Christian says, look, the whole world's designed because it was designed by God, who's the great designer. The atheist says, yes, the world does exhibit design, but it's not what you think it is. The atheist says, when you look at the world, you see design, but it's actually a trick of the eye, a trick of the mind. The atheist says that actually what you're seeing is undesigned design. Does that make sense? That's an oxymoron, isn't it? That's like saying, look at this beautiful unbuilt building. Look at this unpainted painting. Look at this unsculpted sculpture. Undesigned design? That's contradiction. That's like saying, look at my old baby. Would you like some uncooked barbecue? Would you like some hot ice? I mean, that's just the strangest thing in the whole world, because here's what we know, and there's not any exceptions to this. Every design requires a designer. You know, your pastor mentioned it just a moment ago, but, you know, I grew up in a place called Oklahoma, and I lived out in the country. Now, Pastor, I lived out in the country with a capital K. Okay, they didn't even have paved roads where I lived. I lived on a farm. And so every morning I would walk a mile to school. And my mom would just let me walk. We'd walk down this dirt road. And every day that I walked down this dirt road, I'd do the same thing every day. You know what I would do? Well, I'm glad you asked. I would look for turtles. Man, you know what? You just never know. When you're just going around, that where you could find a turtle, like, there's one right there. Look at that. Now, this is one of my turtles. So, I want to let you meet my turtle. Do you know what this turtle's name is? Bahamas. This turtle's name is Darren. Yes. Now, don't worry. It doesn't. Probably doesn't spell its name like yours. This turtle's name is D-E-R-O-N.
Yeah, spelled right.
Okay. Well, you should get to know my turtle. But I love turtles. I have many turtles. And so every day when I would go to school on the bus stop, I would look in the bushes. It'd take me a long time to go that mile because I would look for turtles. And you know what I would do when I would find a turtle? I would pick it up, and then I would very carefully go and set it on a fence post. And then I would go and look for the next turtle. Now, some days I could get into double digits. I could find, you know, close to 10 turtles, and I would set them on top of these fence posts. And I knew the kind of people that drove up and down that road. I knew our neighbors because they were all like my dad. My dad drove a pickup truck. My dad drove a pickup truck with no air conditioning. Did y'all remember when cars didn't have any air conditioning? My dad's air conditioning was called RWD. Roll the window down. Yeah. And all of his friends, you know, they all had one arm was always redder than the other because they'd hang it out the window, okay, of their pickups. And I knew, you know, after I put all these turtles up, these rednecks would be driving down the road, and they would be like, how'd that turtle get up on there? Then they keep going, they'd see another turtle and another turtle. Now, these old guys that saw this, I knew that they had to ask themselves the question of all questions. The question of all questions was, they had to ask, how did that turtle get up on top of the fence post? Because intuitively, everybody knows that a turtle, in its own power and its own strength, there's no way that it could get on top of that fence post. Something higher, something more powerful had to mess with that turtle. You know, the world says that, you know, that everything that just happened is just kind of an accident. All of this originated in Charles Darwin. In the 1800s, he wrote a book called Origin of Species. And what Charles Darwin said, he says, when you look at the world, you see what appears to be design, but it's really not design. It's just chance. It's just natural selection. It's just somehow all of this has happened randomly. Don't believe your lying eyes, because you know, it's really not designed, even though it looks like a design. Darwin's whole thing is about undesigned design. I remember I was doing a debate in Louisville, Kentucky, with an atheist. I've done several debates with atheists. And I decided that I better go get a copy of Origin of Species for that debate that night and study up on it. Because this was a professor of science and that I was debating. And so I went to the bookstore, and I asked for a copy of Origin of Species. They went in the back, and they got me a copy, and I waited, and as soon as they brought it out, the lady who was behind me in line, she went, "Oh, Origin of Species, Charles Darwin, that's my hero." Now, she didn't know who I was. And I very quickly said, "Well, if you like Charles Darwin, you would really love my hero. My hero is a man named William Paley. Have you ever read Paley's book? You know, Darwin came out with his theory of evolution in 1859, but William Paley wrote his book much earlier. His book was in 1802. I said, "Have you ever read William Paley's book called Natural Theology?" She said, "I haven't." Now, this book is really old. It's out of print. Maybe you can get a copy on Amazon or something like that, maybe from a reprint. But in his book, Natural Theology, William Paley gives what's called the teleological argument for the existence of God. In this book, he goes through the museum of evidence. He goes through DNA and genetics and embryology and microbiology and shows how all of these things exhibit design. But what William Paley does in this very, very famous book is he gives his most famous argument, which is the argument of the watchmaker. William Paley gives this example. He said, let's just say you're walking through a forest where no human has ever been, and you suddenly come upon a watch. He said, your mind would wonder, if no human has ever been here and this watch is in the forest, how did this watch get here? Now, you would have to be forced to come up with some theories. Maybe one theory could be was that somehow this watch created itself. That maybe, you know, that somehow these metals began to magnetize and enough animals came by and stepped on it and enough, you know, animals and monkeys played catch with the watch until one day, wait. And somehow it just became a watch that functioned and kept time perfectly. How many of you think that's what happened? Yeah. You know, no one would ever be walking through the forest and find a watch and think somehow it just happened. But you know what's much more complex than a watch? A living organism, like a turtle. I mean, how in the world could you think that somehow a turtle just somehow created itself or just somehow came to be from chance? Listen, every design requires a designer. Do you know the Bible says that you are wonderfully and fearfully made? You are made by something called DNA. DNA is simply programmed, coded information. And let me tell you something, there's no example ever in the history of the world of a program existing that didn't have a programmer. You could take the DNA in your body out of your 30 trillion cells, and you could take one strand of DNA, which would stretch out about 7 feet high, and you could take all the DNA in your body, and you could go to the moon and back 500,000 times. Listen, you are designed. You are an amazing creature. You know, I had an atheist tell me one time, he said, you know, I think, Frank, that if you had enough time and enough chance, that you could just be going through that forest, and you wouldn't just find a watch, you could find a fully functional 747. Ready to fly with instruments and everything, given enough time and enough chance. I was like, yeah, but that's not what we find in this world. We find even something better than that. I said, what you actually find in this world is not just a 747 in the forest that can actually fly and everything else. You find a 747 in the forest that can actually fix itself. Wouldn't that be something if you could buy a car that could fix itself? Wouldn't it? Did you know that there are people in this room right now fighting diseases that you don't even know you have? You don't even know what it is. But your immune system is fighting it. How's it doing that? I'm going to tell you why. Because you are programmed. You don't ever have to think about certain things. You have involuntary functions. From the time that you were a baby, you were all of this stuff was already pre-programmed. Respiratory functions, digestive functions. How many of you just don't really like the auto function on digestion and you just like to digest your own food? You ever done that? Just like, shh, I'm trying to digest my food. Move around like a washing machine. I mean, what are you doing there? I mean, no amount of concentration can change anything like that because all of this is programmed. Listen, you are a creation. You are made by a creator, and that creator is God. You see, every design requires a designer. But listen to this. The greater the design, the greater the designer. You know, the Bible tells us in Genesis 1:1 that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know what that is when you look at Genesis 1:1? And by the way, Genesis 1:1, more than John 3:16, Genesis 1:1 is the most well-known verse in all the Bible. More people can quote Genesis 1:1 than John 3:16. But Genesis 1:1, when you look at it through the eyes of a lawyer, we have a lawyer sitting right back here, Mike Ferris. Mike, raise your hand so everybody can see you. Mike's a retired lawyer. Mike won the big 50 Shades of Grey case and retired from winning trials and everything else, and now he teaches in Arlington, and he's written books. How many books you written now? 17? 19. He writes a book every week. Very famous. But he won a very, very famous court case. But you know, Mike, what I think Genesis 1:1 is an opening statement. It is. It's an opening statement about design and about a designer. And so the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, if you look at the Hebrew, and by the way, Dr. Biles used to teach Hebrew at Southwestern Seminary. And I always think it's amazing. You know, I love this church so much because I love him. And he left one of the greatest seminaries in the world, the seminary that trained me, that trained Dr. Allen, to come to this church because he felt the call of God. That's why me and my wife came here, because we love him so much. And I'm so blessed to get to hear you preach every week. You just amaze me every single week. And not only that, but I'm going to tell you, I'm not what he is, but, you know, this man is a pastor. There's a real rare thing to be a great preacher and a great pastor. He's both. But you know what? You are one of the most amazing pastors that I've ever been around. And I'm so privileged to be here. And he taught Hebrew. You know, it reads backwards. I mean, I don't even know how you did that. But I would sit by him in language classes because it was like I knew it was going to be another level. One time they put him. He did a mission trip to a Spanish-speaking place. He didn't speak Spanish, and by the time he came back, he knew how to speak Spanish. Yeah, he's just very gifted with languages. But the Bible actually says, Dr. Biles, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Now, that's the plural name for God. That ending, I am, im, means plural. See, the singular for God there is Eloah, but the Bible says Elohim created the heavens and the earth. See, if you have one angel, you have a cherub. But if you have more than one angel, you have cherubim. If you have one seraph, you have a seraph. But if you have more than one seraph, you have seraphim. The Bible says in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Listen. God's so big, your mind can't conceive who God is. God is a trinity. He is three in one. And let me tell you something. Maybe you're here today and you're looking for answers. You might even be looking for a church home. Listen, this is the church. You just walked in here. Now, I've been going here 2.5 years, and the best people I know go to this church. This is the most loving, accepting church you could ever imagine. You can find a home in this church. And I tell you what, when I'm not preaching and speaking, I just love to be here And it's not that I just love your preaching, Pastor, but God keeps bringing the most amazing families I've ever seen to this church. Every single week, they're coming. And if you've been looking for a place where you could be accepted, where you could be loved, let me tell you something. This is the place. God's a big God. I'm going to tell you something. You're never alone when you have God. He's Elohim. Did you know that that is the most used word for God in the Bible? It's used over 2,700 times. It means majesty, honor, and power. And the Bible says in the beginning, Elohim created. The word created is the Hebrew word bara. Everybody say bara. Bara. And that means to create from nothing. So before God ever makes the world, before he ever makes the foundation, before he ever does anything, he plans everything. He plans the universe and he plans you. And then the Bible says from nothing, he creates the whole thing. Wow. From nothing. You know, there's a difference between a creator and a craftsman. A craftsman has to take pre-existing materials and make something, but a creator can do it from nothing. You know, I heard a story about a group of scientists who decided to challenge God to a contest. A group of scientists approached God and they said, God, listen, we know how you did everything. You're really not even that great anymore because we figured it all out. There's nothing that you can do that we can't do. We scientists figured everything out. And we challenge you. And God says, challenge accepted. They said, well, what do you want to do? Whatever you do, we can do. God says, well, how about we do one of my first ones when I made you, when I make a man? They say, challenge accepted. We can do that. And God says, well, how about I go first? They said, okay. So God reaches down and he gets some dirt and he does what he did the first time. He breathes the breath of life into the dirt and a living man was formed with a soul. And the scientist said, no problem. Watch this. And as the scientists reach down to get some dirt, God says, use your own dirt. When you start thinking about this world, I mean, the fact that something's here means something always has been here. Because every design requires a designer. And the greater the design, the greater the designer. But listen to this. Living things require a living designer. For you not to believe in God, do you realize that you have to believe that all of life came from non-life? How does non-life create life? When you look at this planet, it's an amazing planet. You know, there's 11 million species on this planet right now. 11 million. But you know what's incredible is they're only a tenth of all the species that have ever lived. Do you realize the vast majority of species that have ever lived on this planet are now dead and they are now extinct? See, the fossil record, when you look at it, is actually not the story of evolution. It's actually the story of extinction. Because when we look at the fossil layer, what we see is that instantaneously, you see like in the Cambrian layer of the planet, the Cambrian explosion, is that the whole world was created and millions and millions of species were suddenly created with no transitional forms. That can only be done by a creator who did it with a plan and with a purpose. And, you know, Adam, this is an incredible thing because before Eve's ever there, God brings all the animals to him and lets him name them, you know? So Adam's naming them. You know, man, that looks like a rhinoceros, Mr. and Mrs. Rhinoceros. And that looks like a giraffe, Mr. and Mrs. Giraffe. That's turtle, Mr. and Mrs. Turtle. But then he began to notice something. He's like, hey, there's two. Where's the Mr. and Mrs. Adam? You know? And he suddenly realized he was alone. And God put him into a deep sleep. And from his rib, God created the first woman. Now, I know you taught Old Testament. I know you taught Hebrew. But you know, we probably know the very first thing that Adam said when he woke up from that surgery and he saw Eve. This is what he said. That's the only woman for me. I don't know. You can preach on it next week and see. But I think that's probably what he said. And you know, isn't it interesting that men and women go together? See, God has planned this. The Bible says that when God made man, he made them male and female. He made us in his image. Do you realize that you're not an accident today? You're made in the very image of God. Living designs require a living designer. You know, when I was a kid, I was in third grade. They started teaching us evolution. And I remember my teacher explaining it. She said, you know what, I don't know what y'all learned in church, but you didn't come from God. She said, at one time there was nothing alive on this planet. She said, all there was just a green goo. And she said, there was nothing alive. The goo just kind of bubbled around like, it was just bubbling around. And she said, and one day, in a Frankenstein type of moment, in a no oxygen atmosphere, the right electrical charges hit, and somehow a simple protozoan was formed. Now, we know that protozoans aren't simple at all. We know that cells aren't simple at all. We know that when Darwin, in the 1850s, when he wrote Origin of Species, he diagrammed a cell as about as being as simple as a ping pong ball. What we now know is that one cell in your body is more complex than the entire city. You have trillions of cells in your body every second. 2 trillion chemical reactions occur in your body every second. But, you know, but this teacher says a simple protozoan was formed. And you know, this protozoan is going to be pretty smart because he's going to be able to develop into something else. He's going to be able to develop into an unsegmented worm. This unsegmented worm's pretty smart because he's going to be able to develop into a fish. Some of these fish are pretty smart because they're going to be able to develop into amphibians. Some of these amphibians are going to crawl upon land, and some of them are going to become reptiles, and some of them are going to become mammals, and some of these mammals are going to become monkeys, and some of these monkeys are going to become men. Did you follow me? We went from the goo to the zoo, to you. Yeah. Now, does that make sense? That dumb stuff can create and design smart stuff, millions of things. I mean, your dog probably does that. Your cat probably does. Jason Brooks has more animals than everybody in this room put together. But you know, Jason, I'm just telling you, man, animals, they're not that sharp. They can't make new forms. They can't do anything. And so it's a great stretch to somehow say that you believe in undesigned design and somehow that makes everything make sense. Listen, did you know it actually takes more faith not to believe in God than it does to believe in God? See, for you not to believe in God, you got to believe in undesigned design. You got to believe in incredible design, just being in a total accident. And you also got to believe that life comes from non-life. But here's the last thing I want to share with you as we close. Not only are you designed, that's the big thing. You're designed. But did you know that the designer's identity is known? It's known. We know who made the universe. We know exactly who did. We don't know how he did it. But we know that an all-powerful being who was always alive, by the way, who made God? Nobody made God. God always was. You say, well, I can't understand. That's not your problem. It's a fact. See, because the fact that something's now alive means that something has always been alive. God is eternal. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's outside of time. Before time even began, he knew who you were. And let me tell you something. Before the foundation of the world, he designed it. He decided that if man ever fell, that he would reconcile the world to himself in Christ. Isn't that interesting? He already knew. He created everybody free, but he made it possible. He chose us in Christ. You know, in this world, there are thousands of religions. But there's only one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. There's only one name among heaven and earth whereby men can be saved. And it's the advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's why Christianity is narrow, in the sense that if you want to make it to heaven, you got to choose Jesus. Somebody says, man, that's very narrow-minded thinking. But let me tell you something, it's just a fact. Because we know who the designer is. God made the entire world through Jesus Christ and chose to reconcile the world back to himself through his son, Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what that means. We know who the designer is. If you live your life thinking something else is the designer, you're going to live a frustrating life, and you're never going to make it to heaven. See, that's why a lot of people, they give up on God. They don't understand who God is. Can you imagine? You know, the Bible says this, listen, Romans 10:13, whoever calls on the name, everybody say name, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you call on the wrong name, you will not be saved. My wife, Becky, who had a big part in leading me to Christ, is here today. Do you know what happens? I'm going to ask her to come up here. Debbie, come up here. Gertrude, come up here. Broomhilda, come up here. It's not working, is it? Watch this. Becky, come here. Please. You know, I could call her all kinds of names. She'll come when I call her the right name. Listen, God has a name. His son, Jesus Christ. The name above every name, the name that at one day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we have two big things that happen before God creates the world. He plans everything, but then he chooses to reconcile the world in Christ. Let me read this again. It says, for he chose us. He chose us in Christ. Before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight, in love. See, God chose you. But the question is, have you chose him?